And here we are, and I hope our audience can tell the difference in the technical.
I can.
Way to go, Sharon.
Nancy can't, probably, because no, she hasn't.
If you listen to some of our old shows, Nancy, you'll see.
I can't hear now, you know.
Oh, yeah, this is true. No, she doesn't.
Get a little, I can hear y'all.
Yeah, thanks for that. So here we are, a special, another election coverage show that we have, Sherry Salas. We're doing HD 65, the Republican primary candidates, or should I say candidate? We only have one candidate.
Yeah, we only have one,
today.
But there are two running for the
There are two,
primary.
And you'll see in social media, which I'm sure our audience has seen since this isn't going for a few days, that we did reach out to Kronda Thimmisch, I believe, and we reached out to her a few times to come on the show. And talk to us like we, Nancy, so you know we have, it's like a coffee table discussion. So we don't do any gotcha questions. We just want people to hear the candidates. And Kronda said that she couldn't make it. And I just, for the record, we are recording on 8:42 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, which will broadcast Thursday the 20th.
Something
yes.
Like that.
I don't know.
Yes.
Because right. So early voting starts on the 18th.
Yeah, you're listening today on the 20th, but we actually taped this on February 11th. We try and work around the candidate schedules, and Nancy was so nice to come in tonight, and we did offer Kronda, and she said she was too busy door knocking. I guess you door knock at 8:30, but I don't, but maybe she does. So Nancy has the floor. It's the first time in the show, Sherry, that we've ever had a solo, but we'll try and make it work today, right?
All we can do is invite them.
So here we are, HD 65, Republican primary. Candidate Nancy Klein, thank you so much for coming in this evening. And for your audience listening, I know it's the morning, so don't worry about that. It was just taped in the evening. So Nancy, why don't you give us a little bit about your, tell us a little about yourself, and then we'll get into some questions.
Well, thank you, Steve and Sherry. My name is Nancy Klein, spelled like Patsy Klein, C-L-I-N-E. I'm running for House District 65 in Southeast Denton County. It is the only seat in Denton County that has a House representative that is a Democrat. And I felt motivated to run to move this seat back to the Republican Party. I'm a proud lifelong conservative Republican, proud lifelong Texan. I was born and raised in Port Arthur.
Oh, wow.
I left to go to Texas A&M University.
Baggies.
And I graduated with a bachelor's and master's in civil engineering. And I moved to Dallas. And I've worked over 30 years as a civil engineer. I've solved many problems in this region, including improving over 50 miles of roadways, bridges on FM 720. You may be familiar with that bridge.
Sure. Just stay close to the mic, though.
Okay.
Sorry.
And I'll stop turning my head.
Yeah.
I built interchange at State Highway 114, did a whole new section of FM 2499 from 2181 up to 35E. I did lots
That's when you're an engineer.
Yeah, that's my engineering side. Lots of creek stabilization improvements, trails.
But you actually had a role in those projects,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
That was
she worked for TxDOT.
No, I know. I want the audience to understand that, that
right.
It was your employer. It wasn't a political
right.
Affiliation.
No, it was my role as a civil engineer working. And what I love is civil engineers can really improve your quality of life or they can make it worse. But we always try to make it better. I call it roads and commodes, but it's water, sewer, you know, water supply. We're around lakes. Just what does Dallas-Fort Worth need to be a place people want to live and enjoy living? I'm a military wife and mom. My husband retired after 28 years in the Texas Army National Guard as a lieutenant colonel. He spent a year in Afghanistan, left me with my three
yes.
teenagers that I desperately wanted. Yours are teenagers. They were a little harder than perfect. But then my oldest is now a captain in the Air Force.
Wow. Thank
you. Oh, wow. Yeah.
All three of our children have graduated from Texas A&M, which some people don't consider an achievement, but we're very proud.
Tough school.
I was going to say, it's an achievement.
It's
I don't care what
school,
color it
for
is.
Sure.
Our baby graduated in December, and right now she's in Paris.
Wow.
Nice.
So before she starts a job very soon. But I've served on the Carrollton Farmers Branch School Board for 15 years. I ran because back in the day, someone who worked, you couldn't be the PTA president. So I thought, well, I can do this. And I continue to serve I'm currently
so not going to be the PTA.
I was going
to
say, forget the PTA president.
Well,
that was a full time job. Oh, and, but I'm currently in my second round of being president. About 14 years ago, we had a president that rolled off after 14 years as president. We're like, that's ridiculous. So we decided to rotate every 2 years and change the president. And we feel like it's a healthy
rotation.
So
you put term limits on the PTA?
No, on the
ISD.
Board president.
Oh, okay.
Because everybody needs an opportunity to get to serve and see that it's not as easy as it looks. Mm-hmm. So,
Steve.
Sure.
I will. So that's kind of my story. And I've just really, I was raised, my parents were in their 40s when I was born. I was the youngest of 7 children. So I felt like my parents grew up during the Depression. I felt like so did I. we recycled aluminum foil, plastic bags, you name it. We ate all parts of all animals. And, but being the youngest of 7, I had 2 siblings that had graduated from college before I was born. So my parents were Republican Party volunteers. They were election judges, precinct chairs for years. There wasn't a lot of competition. It wasn't like they were excluding others. It was a very small population in Port Arthur. But I enjoyed what I learned from my parents about serving. And my new daughter-in-law says I put the serve in conservative.
There you go. And I was going to ask you about that right off the bat, because I did read through some of your paraphernalia, and you say you're the serious.
Paraphernalia.
I was going to say paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia sounds almost negative, Steve.
Sorry.
Wait, you just used the word paraphernalia in front of a Republican.
I'm used to the CBD show. I'm sorry.
I know.
So,
and that was awesome.
The marijuana show. So your promotional pieces, how's that?
Yes, my story.
So you're
story,
the serious conservative. So how are you different than from your opponent?
I guess you're making me a not so serious conservative.
No.
You're making me laugh.
Did he tell you we try and put humor in our show?
Well, no.
That's pretty
good. To infuse a little humor.
I saw
it's
that.
Pretty funny.
Well, actually, honestly, I think that humor brings more joy to work.
Yeah.
And that anything you do, whether you're working in your yard or you're working at a job, it's work. And if you have fun while you're doing it, one of the women I met on the campaign trail said she tries to be fun, fulfilling, and fruitful. And I'm like, oh, I like those three.
Right?
S's. Because if you're just drudgy like this weather we've got right now with rain and gloom and
right,
just dreary, let's have more sunshine and joy.
If you can't have fun in life, then hey, give it up, right?
So the serious conservative is...
You're the serious, you're the real conservative from the promotional. So are you saying that your opponent is not as conservative as you? Is that what you
I think it's
say?
Just lifelong okay. conservative. I think if you read the Dallas Morning News evaluation of the two of us, we're actually somewhat similar. The difference, the Dallas Morning News recommended me because of my engineering background and what they think I would bring to Austin.
Right, and the ability to come on a show and tell about you. Oh, did I say that?
You did.
Oh,
just
sorry.
Say that.
But yeah, that's great. I did see that, and that's great for you to get that endorsement from the Dallas Morning News. That was fantastic for you. So let me ask you some questions then. If you did win, and you know, good luck to you. And what would be the first thing? Like, what's your hot topic to bring to Austin to try and do?
Well, so a lot happening is going to be the census redistricting. The main job the legislature has every year is the budget. And that would be what I would start as soon or before I get elected, is understanding the details of the budget. Because the state funds several primary categories, but education, transportation, health issues, and then also criminal justice areas. And how does all that break out? Where does the money come from, and how best to allocate it using the funds that the state has?
So I have a question. The gentleman that was in the place before the incumbent right now, he was the author of what's called the bathroom bill. I was just curious, I guess, where maybe you stand. I don't know if it's even fair to ask such a thing since it's in the past, but it did happen, and it was that particular team and that particular person was in the center of that situation. I just wanted.
And do you think that's why the current legislator won, was because of that issue?
You said that, not me. But
I'm just asking.
I don't know, but I would like.
I think it was a couple of B's. It was Beto. It was bathroom bill and Kronda was Ron's number one supporter during all this. What I see with the bathroom bill is being a very tall woman, I would not want to have to prove I'm a female all the time. I don't know that Sherry's seen, but I'm nearly 5'11".
And it seems every candidate is tall. I feel so small in this election coverage.
But, that is so true.
And but it does help you see over other people's heads. But I wouldn't want to be questioned as I enter a women's restroom as to my birth sex. So
it probably wasn't a fair question. I guess I was also going to, you know, the incumbent now was able to unseat. So I just was wanting to find out if we were going to be going backwards to some of the previous ideals.
I feel like it's important. So serving on the school board, the way our schools operate, is the principal deals with any of these uncomfortable situations to the best of their discernment. And I think that that decision rests best there.
I agree. Campus.
Yeah, keep it local.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
Right. So going back to what you were saying, you get to Austin and that's where you're going to look at the budget. Is there
something? Census redistricting is huge.
Big time.
Everybody's.
So that's part of the gerrymandering that's going on.
Yes. And my mother, who died at 96, said,
wow,
neither party is well behaved when it comes to redistricting, because we were talking about, you know, the how it works. And she said each party is guilty. And that's.
I like that the 96-year-old grandma knew that. Oh, she said that.
So I took her to vote even when she was 95 before she died.
Sweet. My kind of lady.
So you're thinking more of a bipartisan group to decide on this, on the districts?
Well, okay. So I wish back in the olden days that I remember, districts weren't like 90-10. They were more 70-30. And I think that it makes for elected officials that are more willing to come to agreements. When you polarize people further, they're less likely to be more reasonable about like medical marijuana or other topics that are new. There's a lot of things that come up, like new technologies, new things. Where do you stand on them? You have to research, understand what the rules are, define when you could accept it. And you're more open-minded if you're not if you're able to be open-minded.
I think that's
the medical marijuana thing is very fascinating, and I didn't understand it real well, and I did a little research into it, and it's very restrained and controlled in Texas, but it's for people with epilepsy and people who are basically dying. But it's something that only like one pharmacy can prescribe.
Right. It's very restricted.
Very restricted.
It's one of my favorite topics, the whole CBD marijuana.
It's an interesting thing that as a Republican, I'd be like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. But then you think about someone that lives with epilepsy, like I think I've seen it on TV, the 8-year-old girl that lives with seizures all day long. If you can change her quality of life.
Exactly. Well, and you should listen to our show on CBD and marijuana.
I didn't know you did a show on that.
Yeah, so before the election season, we had hot topics. We've done shows on vaccines. We've done shows on fluoride in the water, vaping.
CBD, marijuana.
5G.
Well, in vaping, I think is, not good. But that's just because, that's my perception.
Well, and the thing with the marijuana is I think where our state is, and actually this is a big deal for candidates right now, which is why it's one of my favorite questions, is how are we going to handle it? Because right now I think everybody is kind of on board with contemplating doing this in some form, but it's how do we regulate and manage it? And is it going to be a bipartisan?
You mean the medicinal or recreational?
Both, quite honestly, but up front, medicinal, and then hemp. We can't grow hemp. A lot of people aren't even familiar with
what's up? We need to do a show on hemp, really.
Well,
you're making me get uncomfortable. I was okay with just medical marijuana.
Well,
we're
going to
ask you about
hemp. Doesn't have any
THC.
Psychotropic. Yes,
yeah. I understand.
Hemp is what they make the rope at Hobby Lobby with.
I'm still not there.
Oh, I'm all for hemp. Sid Miller's for hemp.
Yeah, Sid's
and
for hemp.
He is. I mean, the farmers.
I would have to study hemp.
I actually saw a bumper sticker that said
Sid's for
hemp.
It's out of my realm.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So I gather then you're against legalization of recreation marijuana.
Yes.
Okay. Because I know that's been a topic.
Well, and a lot of this is, it's like anything. My husband had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma 15 years ago. Until you go through something, you're not an expert.
Right.
And what I look forward to is, as an engineer, I like to really dissect and understand all the details.
I like it, Nancy.
And pull, figure out what...
She's very analytical.
Oh, I know. I'm liking it. Like, she's like, I need to understand it.
Right.
then we can talk. But I need to understand it first.
So if you do go to Austin, I mean, are you going to be more of this independent? You're going to be, of course, you're Republican, and I understand all your conservative principles, and I appreciate that. But are you going to be one of these people like, no, you know, I'm my own person. I'm going to make my decision what's best for my community.
Yes, I would want to represent Southeast Denton County.
And that's, I think that's important, because I think what happens is people get elected and then they become unapproachable. And you seem like you're very approachable.
No, I've had an open door forever. When I was the area engineer at Denton TxDOT, I 500 emails a day, 25 phone calls, and 5 walk-in visitors a day that weren't meetings. I would meet with anybody and talk to anybody.
I think that's really important for any elected.
I think that's
person.
A level of confidence.
One thing, State Representative Lynn Stuckey, I was meeting with somebody that talked about feral hogs, which is not a problem in Southeast Denton County.
Yeah, not really. Not
but
they are a problem
they
when they're a problem.
To use Coumadin on feral hogs, and he used his veterinarian knowledge to explain that that was not appropriate.
That's,
and I
that's cruel.
Well, okay. I think it's cruel also to other animals in the food chain.
No, I agree. You know, look, I say, well, I'm not going to answer what I would do to the.
So it's interesting what I think people with their different backgrounds bring to Austin. And I always wondered why more engineers didn't run, but it really does put us outside of our comfort zone.
And I would think with the infrastructure in the country and specifically Texas is going through, I mean.
I grew up in Port Arthur, which Hurricane Harvey brought 60 inches of rain to Port Arthur. And I did 8 years of drainage design in Beaumont. And the areas I worked on did not flood. There were detention ponds and things that we did to prepare. The reason why Port Arthur flooded was the pumps ran out of fuel after 4 days and they stopped. Port Arthur is kind of surrounded by levees and it relies on pumping. So I think that I bring a lot of understanding of what's different in Texas versus just North Texas, but also the infrastructure needs and how what is best for Texas to keep Texas a place people want to live and bring business here.
So then let's switch gears to education. Where are you at with education?
Do you want to put your kids someplace where they don't have a good opportunities for education? You know, when I moved to Carrollton from Beaumont, I looked for a school district where I felt like my kids could soar. And that's why I picked Carrollton Farmers Branch. I also like the diversity of the community because I think it's the real world. And HB3 was very good for our school district. It helped reduce property taxes, which was good, but it did it a little. And it helped compensate teachers a little more, but it also did full day pre-K, which is amazing.
Right. We're getting ready.
What about Robin Hood? How did it affect your district?
Well, our district
recapture.
So when I got on the school district, on the school board in 2005, we were a donor district and we would actually designate funds to go to LISD because at the time they were a receiver district. We've always been property wealthy because we have a lot of warehouses and a lot of business development in our community. Irving, Las Colinas, that whole area with the Mustangs is all in CFB.
Oh, wow.
And so they're over a third of our tax base, but not that many of our children. So we've been very fortunate. But back in 2006, the state made it where the state funded 50% of public education and the local school district funded 50%.
Right.
As your property taxes rose, the state reduced what they funded. So while you have more of a bill to the school district, the state reduces their share. So in CFB, the state share went down to less than 20%. So I think, where does the state share belong? And what happened to the monies that used to come to the school districts? That's part of what I'm curious about. And how do you challenge?
I was going to say the sustaining of funding,
yes,
the HB3.
That's my concern.
Yeah.
And that's the main reason I'm running is infrastructure and education and the others. If you educate the kids, maybe you won't have the criminal justice problem as bad. You know, what can you do to balance the needs in the state?
Okay. I was curious.
Those are very good points that you bring in. And one of the other topics that we've talked about with candidates are you going, you know, how are you going to deal with the lobbyists once you get elected? I mean, Are you going to like say, I'm not taking any funds from you guys, I'm just, you know, I'm going forward with what I know? Or, you know, because it is a problem in Austin right now.
No.
Is it?
Are you?
So
I don't believe
curious
you.
On where,
well, what's been very interesting for me is learning so much more. I've been to Austin 4 times and visited even with the beer lobby. And I thought, what can be wrong with a beer lobby?
Yeah, what's you wrong know? With a beer? Too?
Until I went to Three Nations Brewery and I learned that Texas was one of the last states to allow craft brewery.
Yep.
To
I knew this. There's a local
so
group.
Sherry, you're ahead of me. I'm an engineer.
Well,
I
like beer.
sitting around craft working beer. On my engineering projects and working on school board, and I didn't know about the beer laws. But it's interesting to me to see the magnitude and where things are and figure out where the state of Texas should be. Where should we stand? And what I would tell you is on school board, what I told you when I got here, Steve, is I've always done what I thought was right and not to win re-election. And I've been proud. And when my mother was alive, it was, I will always do what's right. I won't settle or serve people that are trying to puppet me. I'll do the right thing. With lobbyists, so like engineers, I don't mind if they want to, you know, maybe contribute to help fund some of these mailers, because they actually, most all, we think a lot alike because we understand the challenge of funding and maintenance and that sustainability.
Right.
And what should Texas be like? And
but you're saying donate because they know your personal work ethic and your character, not because political
she's
affiliation.
Not a, she's not a frill person. You
right. No,
that.
I mean,
she's
like not political affiliation. Not for, you yeah. just yeah. know that I'm going to do it right. So give me some money.
Exactly.
Well, good and point. It's that relying on 30 years plus of like one of the gentlemen that when I was a young engineer at City of Dallas was so impressive, and I learned so much from the way he presented ideas and displayed professionalism. And he recently retired, and you realize that you know who you can trust. Mm-hmm. And a lot of civil engineers are very servant-minded people who build the bridges across Lake Louisville, you know, who design everything to last. And, you know, we're fortunate in how well Texas has done.
Texas is doing really well, that's for sure. So I'd like to then skip over to the recent pass of Proposition 4. Were you in favor of that proposition? That's the personal income tax in the Constitution.
So I think that the way that Prop 4 is written, where the income tax is a last resort for the state, works. I know that people have come up with other ideas of how to fund public education. I think we need to look at, it's kind of like user fees, well, for roads and toll roads. But yeah, I think we just need to dissect and understand. Several years ago, there were $3 billion in money that the state did not send to school districts. I wonder where that $3 billion went due to increased property taxes. I don't know. So those are the things I'm going to try to figure out.
I don't hate that answer.
And I think that you have the definitely capabilities the way you, it sounds like the way you think that you'll be one of the persons to figure that out.
I think it's kind of a cool dynamic that she's on the school board, so she feels the property tax situation pretty heavy.
And she
heavy.
Understands education.
Yeah, and then also I think that's kind of cool.
It's interesting.
Well, and as a civil engineer, the propositions that funded road construction have helped a lot. And what does the next 20 years hold as people keep moving to Texas?
Yeah, I know.
Right.
And how do you maintain what you have?
Those New Yorkers coming down. I am a New Yorker for those who are listening. But let me ask you something about the gun control, Second Amendment. So that's another topic. Of course, you know, like we've had Democrats, candidates on the show, of course everybody has their perspectives on that. So what is your perspective on the Second Amendment in the state, and should there be tighter laws or background checks? What is your feel on that?
I think it's, so I'm military wife and mom. I got this picture here. So when my husband went to Afghanistan, he wanted me to get a gun, but I couldn't. It's like trying to get me to do cartwheels. It just didn't work.
That's a great analogy.
But I do respect people like my husband that do have the
care. You're like, I'm not against cartwheels. I just can't do them myself.
So I fully support and want to protect the Second Amendment. But I also recognize, like, the shooter in outside of Fort Worth last month. When you see that video of those church members standing up and pointing their guns at the shooter, just gives you chills all over your body. In Carrollton, our former police chief that's now over police and fire, Rex Redden, has been meeting with any church that will meet with him and educating the church on the placement of these people with guns. I'm scared that we're at that point in our society. And as a school board member, we're looking at how to really tighten up our schools and how to protect our students when they are in our property and, you know, keep our doors locked. And we've got Ring doorbells at our schools now where you can't just come in the first door. You've got to be let in. And just, it's a strange place that we're in today. And I think the mental health factors in a lot.
Was that a topic when you were in the ISD about arming teachers or anything like that?
I have not heard any of the teachers ask to be armed.
Okay.
And what's interesting, when I worked at the state, we were not allowed to bring guns, but anybody that came to meet with us could bring guns. So I knew for a fact that there were people I was meeting with that always carried guns. And, you know, it's just life. You know, you don't know where you are, what people have. And
you're from Port Arthur also.
Why? What's the, what
does that tell you?
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, that's my mama's side of the state too. Mm-hmm. There's just more hunters.
Yes, duck hunters, it's quail a different hunters.
Yeah,
it's not New York, you're saying?
It's not Dallas.
You're saying it's not New York.
It's not Frisco.
Well, and what's funny is the number of friends I have that feral hog hunt. You know,
is that a good thing?
It was in Southeast Texas where the lady died from the feral hog.
I saw that.
I mean,
it's crazy.
When you think about they're that awful.
Okay.
It's kind of like, in some parts of Texas, people get attacked by dogs and die. But I feel very safe where I live that there is not any roving dog population. But
there you go.
But there, you know, security is number one for most.
I see.
You know, I think that's a priority.
Peace of mind, right? Don't have to have packs or anything. Dog, no dog packs, wolf packs.
I think she was talking about hogs. The guns.
I know. I'm just going to come up this here.
So
we're going to take a break right now because we're moving pretty fast through this show. We usually take a hard break. We're not leaving, so you're still on.
But okay.
You can, we talk about our sponsors because our show is sponsored by three amazing companies and organizations. And the first sponsor that I'll talk about is our premier sponsor, Elevated Roofing. Yes, they're still with us, Sherry.
After yay! All these times.
I think this is our 28th, 29th show. I have to check it out. But Elevated Roofing's been with us since day one, very supportive of the show, and they are a phenomenal company as far as service and workmanship. I can tell you from personal experience because they worked on my home. They redid my roof when I had hail damage. Oh, gosh, it was terrible. Yeah, there you go. Big pieces. But
we all have that story here.
They're not the ones that sales brokers coming to my house knocking on the door. They didn't come to my house. I actually got them through a referral, and that's how they get most
of their business. I prefer not the people you find on your roof with a ladder.
There you go. How many things do you find in your door after a house storm? Like 20 different roofers come by. But they're not like that. They're very professional. Kenny Gammons, who's my salesman, came to my house, worked with my insurance agent, ended up getting a really nice roof and did my gutters, did all the painting. They have a painting division. They're a great company. And if you're thinking of fixing your roof before the hail comes in or your gutters or their painting division, please contact them at 469-200-0582. That's 469-200-0582. And I'm going to hand it off to my co-host, Sherry Salas, talk about Bell and Sparrows.
Bell and Sparrow. Love them. It is a woman-founded, to support women, faith-based organization. It's a nonprofit. These ladies are amazing. They organize so many people to help lift up other ladies that are suffering from different things, such as incarceration or recovering from addiction or abusive relationships. They take these ladies, they bring them in, they rebuild them up, they teach them a trade so then they can go out and take care of themselves and go back into societies and be successful. Currently, they are taking registrations for their golf tournament that they do. It's called Birdies for Bells, and it's on April 28th, 2020. And they're asking for people to sign up and sponsor a team for their tournament.
Or a hole? Do they sponsor a hole?
No, you pay, you know, like a regular golf tournament where you like pay to have your team come play, like your team of four.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, and then they also need volunteers, lots of different stuff. It's a pretty big fundraiser for them, so.
Great organization, Nancy.
Sounds good.
Their sponsorship's actually paid by an anonymous donor, so they don't spend any of their own funds for this announcement. So it's pretty cool. And if you want to hear or see more about them, go to their website at bellandsparrows.org. That's B-E-L-E and Sparrows with an S, not Bell and Sparrow, Bell and Sparrows.
I know. Did I say Sparrow?
You say Sparrow. There's a few.
Oh,
there's
I know
one
it's
bird.
S. I follow them. I'm obsessed. Tiffany just took this amazing picture of one of their trips, and it was so beautiful. This is off the commercial. Sorry. Now I'm chatting. Sorry.
Where's the trip?
Well, it's one of their missions. Oh. And it was just, I don't technically know where the picture was because she was just speaking to the beauty of the picture. And
I just love people helping people.
That's what they
These
do.
These ladies are amazing.
BellandSparrows.org. And our last sponsor is Brace Humanity, and they're a manufacturer right here in North Texas of men's and women's bracelets made of stingray, Napa leather, and they use yacht rope. Pretty exciting materials. People that are listening to this show, it's after Valentine's Day, so you missed their special 25% off if you put the word common in the promo. Because this show is being broadcast on February 20th.
I had my red one on today.
You did?
I did.
They're beautiful. So, but check it out because they do have promotions going on, I know, for spring. BraceHumanity.com. I think they'll still have a coupon promo by this time. I'll confirm the next show if you can get a discount because they are one of our sponsors. BraceHumanity.com. Check them out. So we are back with Nancy Klein, who's running for HD
65.
That's right. The Republican primary against her opponent. Oh, yeah, she's not here. But we did invite her opponent, but she did decide not to come. And Nancy is here. And thank you so much for coming, Nancy. We learned a lot about you so far and sounds pretty exciting to me. But let's bring up another topic. What is your position on, say, term limits? Are you doing this for 20 years or what do you?
No,
do you...
I really think I never intended to be on school board 15 years, but the last time the superintendent told me he was retiring and several board members had passed away and several had rolled off and I was the only board member left that had helped pick the last superintendent. So he asked me, would you run again? Because I'm leaving and you need to be here to help.
You have the
she
has the institutional knowledge to be able to lend itself
the,
to
you know, we tried that
and
we thought this worked better. And so I stayed. I was not president at that time, but after we picked the new superintendent, another key part is when you have a brand new superintendent, I became president to try to help make sure that we didn't ever not keep on the path we were on of high academic achievement and the goals that the community had as we transitioned. So that's why I ran the last time. My youngest had graduated and, you know, you lose connection when you don't have anybody left in the schools as much. Now I have friends of my children that teach in the schools and
oh, wow.
I still have other people I know in the schools, but it's time for me, and this I feel like this is a really good time in my life. I don't have any grandkids yet because my oldest got married in August.
Congratulations.
And but I think that now's a really good time for me to serve. But term limits, I think the voters, like you saw, you know, can vote however they want. And but I do see a problem with people that have been in office 20, 25 years. It's kind of ridiculous. It doesn't allow fresh representation.
Right. So you, from what I'm gathering, you're not for term limits, but you're saying we should use a little common sense and try and get out of the game, these career politicians at a certain point.
Cities have 6-year term limits a lot. And what happens in the regional...
Well, 9 years here in Frisco.
And in the regional council of governments is they can't hardly rise to be officers within 6 years. So the counties don't have the term limits that the cities have. So the counties wind up being in further higher levels of responsibility because the cities roll people faster. And so you can't really rise and represent Frisco like your mayor, Mahermaso. He was here for a long time and he had a lot of collateral. But then as term limits took effect, he rolled off and you lose that seniority in the region. And with 140 suburbs in Dallas-Fort Worth, it's a very busy place and you need whatever collateral you can earn.
Yeah, interesting
point. It's about who you know.
Really? Isn't there a show called Who Do You Know?
We can't market for
that.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Sorry.
But we like him.
You do. So tell us a little bit about your opinion on immigration and what the state is doing with Kenny Paxton and other people as far as our borders and what would you
We're
like?
We're pretty much a nation of a lot of immigrants. I don't know. I haven't done that genetic testing. Have y'all?
No.
Yeah. But
you did it?
Did you really?
Well, no, I know what I am, so I don't have to worry about
Well, it doesn't seem like something.
You might be surprised.
My kids have, though.
Oh.
But, you know, my parents came to Texas from during the, you know, right before World War II from California and Colorado. We all are mobile and we're stronger and better because of the diversity of our United States. But do we need illegal immigration with drugs and bad criminals and people bringing young girls without any
sex trafficking's crazy
border protection? I'm firmly supportive of a border wall with entry points for those that are following the immigration procedure. A year ago, I participated in a school board leadership program where we toured the border and we visited some of the schools down there. And what you realize is the schools are not negatively impacted by the immigration because the people are sent throughout the United States. So the schools down there are really just dealing with their local population. And then we visited with the Border Patrol, who told us horror stories of what they deal with. And I saw that the job of a Border Patrol officer, I think, is worse than someone in Afghanistan or even Iraq, because you normally go somewhere in Afghanistan or Iraq with like 20 of your best friends, or you're in a more sheltered, protected area. These Border Patrol guys are oftentimes on their own.
I know.
And they don't have the
unsung heroes, right?
Yeah. It was scary for me for these young men. And when I hear that California and Arizona have protected their border, I wonder why Texas hasn't accomplished the same thing. And it used to be a bipartisan issue, but now it's become a very controversial issue. What the Border Patrol head gentleman that spoke to us said is, fix the problem in the countries they're coming from. They're not coming from Mexico. They're passing through Mexico from Central America and go down there and address the immigration of those people who really has the need to come here and get it working there.
So you're saying address why they're leaving, fix it so they don't want to leave?
Fix them leaving, but find a better way to get them here than rather than paying coyotes to come here and them desperately passing through, selling, you know, paying tons of money to come in illegally. How can we do it?
Well, my question
better?
More specifically, would you support, say, the state putting the Texas Rangers, say the government, the feds weren't doing a good enough job and, you know, you were concerned about
it? I support that.
Okay. So that's why I just want to make sure that our audience understood that question. I know we kind of went to other countries sending their, well, not sending, but
it was interesting.
Immigrants
I
come over.
Well, I was in actually London and Paris when they were having problems with migrants getting on top of the train and riding into London. And so they had guys with machine guns in Paris when we got off the train. And you realize that immigration is an issue all over the world.
Right.
And it's just how you deal with it. And what the Border Patrol told us was the serious dangers and the negative things that are happening at our borders that are, I don't have a problem with legal immigration and dealing with people that have those needs at the entry points, but not a wide open border.
I think that's a good way of looking at it. I'd like to ask you a question about the sitting incumbent. Obviously, if you did get to run against her, what would, you know, like what really separates from you? What are those top two or three issues that you would do totally different than she would?
Well, I think a lot of it is what the Dallas Morning News said in their recommendation of me is that my experience and background makes me very well qualified. I spent a lifetime of 30 years serving through civil engineering and 15 years on the school board, and she's learning on the job. And I think I bring a lot more understanding and problem solving skills, which is another one of my sayings on my card, because it helps. I think I'm good at piecing together puzzles and peeling onions to understand how things work.
Is there anything in particular that she's done that, you know, you raised your eyebrows and said, wow, I can't believe that was done in our district?
I think you have to be taken seriously. And she wore a t-shirt on the house floor, which people were very offended by. You know, I wear t-shirts on weekends, but I don't wear them to church. You know, it's being professional. And I think that I would be committed to always bring in a professional attitude.
Okay. And then I just want to talk about the criminal justice system in Texas. Are you fine with the way it's being handled? Are there any modifications that you would make?
That's a hard question for an engineer and with a public build education.
A right. But I like how she said earlier, if you fix some of the schools, then that's not as big of a problem.
Even six-year-olds come to schools with a lot of problems. They call it trauma now rather than really poverty. They find that the children with adverse childhood experiences have a lot of issues. And how one thing Carrollton Farmers Branch is doing is we've actually opened a counseling clinic at night with school counselors serving our population to try to address the parents in addition to what the children are experiencing. We may not have this stress in our lives of poverty and hazards and danger, but the kids are living a different life than, say, our kids might be living. And how do we help those kids escape that? And, you know, teachers make a huge difference in kids' lives. One of the things that's a current topic is the pathway to prison.
Right. That's what I was going to say. The
in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension. But we had a work study a year ago that I asked for as board president on bullying and discipline. And, you know, one of my board members was upset that vaping marijuana was a felony. And these are all interesting things. That doesn't upset me. What upsets me is when teachers are in the middle of a fight and get thrown to the ground, protecting the teachers in the classroom. We can't let our community become crazy wild. Some parts of our community don't have a lot of mobility. Some parts have higher mobility populations. And that's part of that trauma, is all those things happening in those kids' lives. They get shuffled around. They don't get a lot of continuity. If you are able to stay in one school system your whole career, I guarantee we can raise you and prepare you for your adulthood. But if we only get you for 6 months or 9 months, you're just flying through. How can we help those kids? And that's, I've served on the school board because I feel compelled to help kids that aren't like ours. But this whole issue of discipline, pathway to prison, if kids are really dangerous and bad, when you go back and look at some of the crimes and things that are happening, the teachers in second grade knew. We had a young man that the SWAT team had that was
Say too much, girl. You might get in trouble.
Yeah. No, this was dealing prostitutes, drugs. It was near where I live in Carrollton, and the SWAT team surrounded the rent by the week hotel, and he wound up dying. And his second grade teacher said, I was scared of him in second grade.
Right.
How do we deal with those? Broken
baby. Is that part of the mental health bill?
I was
going to
say, who gets blamed for that?
You don't blame, but how do you fix it?
True.
You know, because I think some of it is the drug babies. And, you know, I've known
it's just sad.
A young woman that
was. Do you have any ideas that you would bring to Austin for this?
Okay. So foster care is another huge, big issue. What do you do?
Oh, yeah. Right. You know, fix CPS. These kids?
But a lot of it is, I think you tackle it like you did the medical marijuana. You just really dig down into it and you evaluate the pros and cons. I think the foster care needs a better leader in charge of the foster care program, you know, because the leadership percolates down through the whole thing.
Well, CPS, the whole foster care, that portion of our state needs some love. So and I'm not going to argue with
that. There's just so the criminal justice system where when I was living in Beaumont, they built they have federal prisons, state jails, juvenile facilities. They have every level you need. It's the Huntsville South. But it's sad that we have that much need in Texas. And I think that costs a lot of money in the budget. How can we be better? And I don't have the answers. It's a lot of it's the mental health. It's so things like if a kid can't learn to read. And that's one thing I'm excited about with House Bill 3 is addressing being able to have literacy by third grade. If you can't read by the time you're in seventh or eighth grade, what kind of student are you going to be?
Right.
You give up.
Well, it's like a domino effect. And
yeah,
it's
and frustration.
Like you're being held underwater slowly and slowly and slowly.
One of my children was dyslexic, and I put a lot of money into helping him, and so did the school district, but tutors and helping him be able to read on grade level so he could keep up. It's hard to understand that those challenges, but it is like trying to see through things you can't see through. And it's hard, hard work. But how do you help these kids so that they can be successful?
Okay. I mean, we've come to the time of the show that we're going to ask you for just a quick summary of, why people should vote for you over your opponent and where they could find more information about you.
So as I said, I'm a lifelong Texan, and I love the excellent economy we have here in Texas. People want to move to Texas, like Steve. When did you move here?
I moved here, over 7 years ago.
So that dilutes your New Yorkism. jobs are plentiful.
Oh,
our unemployment is extremely low. Our business environment is friendly. I recognize the responsibilities and budget challenges that Texas faces. I'm knowledgeable about both the funding and testing discussions in public education, the state's funding and management of transportation, water supply, floodplain management. I can use my personal knowledge, skills, and experience to contribute to future discussions and decisions of the House of Representatives from day one. I'm connected in my community. I'm a very transparent, open person. I'm willing to continue my past history of open conversation and communication. I'm definitely not closed-minded. I'm definitely not puppeted by anybody to make those decisions that have to be made in Austin. So somebody told me I need like the 15-second reason of why I'm running. I'm running for good schools, good roads, and low taxes.
Can they
all be done? I'm not so sure, but I'm willing to go down there and try.
And where can we find more information about you?
VoteNancy.com. And then I have a Facebook site of Vote Nancy for Texas.
Is that with the number 4 or is it F-O-R?
It's V-O-T-E.
Okay. F-O-R.
Oh, F-O-R.
Yeah. Okay. That was my fault.
Sorry.
That's okay. So I said F-O-U-R, right? So that was my mistake. So
well, I'm just very confused at this hour.
No, so am I. It's kind of late for us to do a podcast.
But I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm sorry for the scrambling of
I'm glad you came
messages. And but I think that mainly I just want to share my passion and my commitment to representing Southeast Denton County and doing what's best for Texas with the government's responsibility to serve.
Well, I just want our audience to know that you were extremely responsive to coming on the show, and you hesitated zero amount of time, and you said, "Yeah, I'll come on. I want people to know what I'm about."
I think Sherry was surprised I answered my phone.
Yep,
she goes, "You answered your phone.
You answered. You didn't have a person."
Well, we appreciate it, and I hope everybody enjoyed this special electoral coverage of HD 65, the Republican primary.
Carrollton, Louisville, Highland Village, Castle Hills.
She's covered it all.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Klein is here with us. Thank you so much, Nancy. For Sherry Salas and myself, Steve Noskin, hope you enjoyed this, evening presentation. For you, morning presentation. Enjoy. Have a great day. God bless.